This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I just yawned into the microphone. Is that good? Is that good radio?
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
We have a bunch of important things to get to this hour, believe it or not. There are a few Chiefs topics that I think are really interesting. We have an update on George Foreman's children, and also Antonio Brown has given us a tremendous gift. Also, we're going to do headlines at some point. We'll let the urchin out of the cupboard. A sentence that I can only imagine is tremendous to hear out loud if you don't usually listen to the show in its entirety and you're just here for the Chiefs stuff. But there's a tweet I just saw going to an article from BJ Kissel on Chiefs.com that is very, very good. And then there's an article on ESPN about something the Chiefs will be doing in free agency. Also, happy Hug Your Cat Day.
Also, very quickly. Sorry, just really quick.
No, it's not that it's quick. It's that you interrupted you interrupted Hug Your Cat Day.
I don't have a cat.
Then shut up and let there be some silence. Yeah, I know. The TV went off.
No, it came back on.
Mine is still off.
Oh, well. 33 activated. It was just the little direct bouncing logo for a while.
Yeah.
And I was hoping it would just turn on to ESPN. It's a power wash 30-minute ad.
That's pretty good.
Oh.
My TVs now are ESPN and a bouncing DirecTV logo. We've got to be able to turn off the auto sleep function.
Yes.
We've got to go find that somewhere. That's got to be back in the menu somewhere. We have a calendar in here that has National Whatever Day every day. It's got different days. June 4th is Hug Your Cat Day. So happy Hug Your Cat Day. Article from BJ Kissel on Chiefs.com about Sammy Watkins has a couple of really good quotes. One about one off the field, one on the field. That's really good, I think. When you sign a big contract, some guys can look at you different, but these guys welcome me in. I'm naturally not shy, but a quiet guy, reserved, and I can actually joke around and have fun with these guys, and no one's taking it personally. I think that's the good part. I've actually opened up now more than in the past previous years when I was like, I'm not talking to anybody, I'm not dealing with anybody. I have fun with these guys. Listen to this, though. That's good. Off the field, the group together, great. Listen to this about the on-the-field side of things. I feel great, Watkins said. I know what I'm doing now. I'm moving around. It's just a great feeling because I'm not sitting at the X receiver spot on the backside looking at a two-man or double. I'm really playing against a slot cornerback and getting an advantage on the linebackers, getting an advantage on the safety. And those are the things that I didn't have access to in the past, and now I do. Those are shots fired at his work in Buffalo, his work in Los Angeles with the Rams last year, where he just got lined up against a double team of some sort and was just left to run around there and the offense used him as a decoy or at least used him uncreatively. That's a pretty out there statement from Sammy Watkins. And it says very good things about what this relationship with the Chiefs is looking like. It's also encouraging to me that this is the direction the offense is headed in. Because the thing that Sammy Watkins can do to your offense is give you another just like unstoppable mismatch. If he's going to be your Odell Beckham, he's going to have him lining up against top corners and double teams all the time. You probably have a pretty limited window with what he can actually do in that regard. That's the limitations that he's had in Buffalo and Los Angeles the last few years. But he's getting lined up against slot corners. He's getting lined up against linebackers. He's getting lined up against safeties. That leaves you mismatches everywhere. And Travis Kelce is doing the same thing, and Tyreek Hill is doing the same thing, and this offense is going to be unfathomable. So that's an encouraging thing there. I'm very glad to hear that about Watkins, because also it puts his previous production in an interesting light, I think, because it points to the fact that he hasn't been used very well recently. And now he has at least the most physically talented quarterback that he's ever played with by a long margin. Sean McVay managed Jared Goff really well last year. This, though, with Patrick Mahomes, is going to be Sean McVay with Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid's ability to scheme an offense in that very precise way, I think, is going to be really, really evident. One other quick thing of note before I get to a larger Chiefs story. It's not a huge Chiefs story. I just think it's kind of interesting. Another few minutes of things we can talk about. Adonis Alexander is going into the 2018 NFL Supplemental Draft. Now, you may say, Adonis Alexander may stop you from getting into the actual story because I want him on my team immediately because that's the best name I've literally ever heard. But he was a cornerback at Virginia Tech, and he's going into the supplemental draft after being ruled academically ineligible for his senior year of college. And so what the supplemental draft is a guy who didn't go into the actual draft but ended up usually having some sort of eligibility problem between now and the NFL season, or between the draft and the NFL season, can enter in, and then a team can – you go through the draft as you would, and then – You can spend the draft pick for next season. So the Chiefs could spend a third-round draft pick on Adonis Alexander if no one before them does do that, and then they don't have that pick in the 2019 draft. He's interesting not just because it's another cornerback option, because that is obviously in and of itself interesting. He would have come through at a pretty solid level coming into this year's draft. Here's a quote from NFL.com, the article by Tom Pelissero. Alexander, 21, received what one scout described as, quote, a big grade from one of the scouting services NFL teams use, and could have come out in the 2018 NFL draft in April. But Alexander says he elected to return to school in part because he promised his parents he'd finish his degree. That was before his GPA sunk again, leaving him to file an appeal that was denied about a month ago, he said. He intends to hold a pro day workout at the school in a few weeks, according to his agent, Andy Ross, and take visits thereafter. The Oakland Raiders took Terrell Pryor in the 2011 third round of the 2011 supplemental draft, and the Cleveland Browns took Josh Gordon in the 2012 supplemental draft. Since then, a tackle, Isaiah Battle, went in the fifth round in 2015. That's all the action that happens to the supplemental draft. It's pretty rare. And basically, I think teams submit either that they do want to submit a pick or don't at all. And so if the Chiefs write in, yeah, we want to spend a sixth-round pick on him, well, if he's there with our sixth pick, we'll take him. But if the Colts say we'll take him with the fifth, then he goes to the Colts, and you never get that far. If the Colts say seventh, Chiefs say sixth, then he goes to the Chiefs. I don't know if the Chiefs are explicitly interested in him or not, but it's something that I would find extremely interesting. He had his GPA drop. I'm not terribly worried about that at the next level. Something to keep an eye on. The story with an established guy, though, that makes some sense is an article written by Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com today about some 2018 free agents that haven't yet signed anywhere. So there's a bunch on Dez Bryant. Oh, Dez Bryant makes sense with the Packers, and that Jeremy Maclin makes sense with the Raiders. Eric Decker makes sense with the Cardinals. Blah blah blah. But the Chiefs show up here in a way that I think makes a lot of sense with Breshad Breeland. Here's a little snippet from the article. He wrote, Breeland started 58 games for Washington over his four-year rookie deal that had struck a three-year, $24 million deal to join the Panthers this offseason, but a foot injury he suffered on vacation resulted in a failed physical and a silent free agent market. He recently met with the Colts and Cardinals, both of whom are desperate for cornerback help, and the fact that the two sides weren't able to consummate a deal might in itself be telling. He talks about now maybe Breeland is looking for a one-year deal, and the Chiefs could potentially offer him that. I would be totally cool with the Chiefs taking that step, taking that risk. You probably know at this point how I feel about David Amerson. I don't like him as your third corner. I'm not in love with Steven Nelson as your second. Frankly, Kendall Fuller as your first is something that you don't know about. Optimistic? Sure. Can he translate from slot to outside? Probably so. The traits seem to be there. I'm cool with all that. But if you can add to your depth, if you can add to what you have as a safety net and add to your ceiling, raise your ceiling up at a position of need and also a tremendously sketchy position as things currently stand, I don't know why you wouldn't take that risk. On a one-year deal, not worrying about the long-term, prove-it deal to have him grow for the future, let him reinvest in himself for the future, get a long-term deal next offseason from somebody else probably, I would just be completely on board with the Chiefs exploring that as an option. All right, those are the Chiefs things. You got three Chiefs things there at the front end. Now let me tell you about a story that we started talking about a little bit earlier in the show, and now I'm going to reset completely because it's worth it. Headline. Antonio Brown sends a PSA out on his IG to his baby mama to take care of her other kids besides the ones with him. Semicolon, wants his three baby mamas to form a big three of parenting for his five kids. Are you interested in hearing more about this story? Yes, you are. You literally have to be.
Sure.
Sure is not nearly excited enough. The first part of the story feels like pretty reasonable, maybe like good dad work there. Antonio Brown wants his baby mama to take care of her other kids besides the ones that she had with him. That's nice. Weird that that's an Instagram PSA, but fine. I'm really here for wants his three baby mamas to form a big three of parenting for his five kids.
What are they going to name this big three? That's what I want to know.
Let's work on that. Keep that in mind. The headline, the article on blacksportsonline.com says, wait, what? This sort of came out of the blue, but here's a little backstory. Antonio Brown has five kids by three baby mamas, Shameeks, Trice, and Chelsea. Chelsea spelled I-E at the end. So those are three names that I don't think I've literally ever seen before. That doesn't mean anything, just something I noticed. Chelsea is the most recent baby mama, and she has three of his kids. He briefly left her while she was pregnant to be with Instagram model Jenna Frooms, but then he got back with her before the birth of the kid. Randomly, he went on Instagram to say that Chelsea hasn't been taking care of her other two kids that she doesn't have with him. Oh, that's not great. Don't love that. The actual message here said it's a picture of her and then PSA. With all due respect, any friends who consider at Chelsea a friend should honestly help her vastly. She has two older kids, Kellen Green, 9, Brooklyn Green, 7. She hasn't seen her claimed in 4 years running around chasing me. Her mom, oh no, this gets worse. Her mom and Todd Lynn and Todd Chris could not get a hold of her in regards to holding her accountable for her kids and family. Let's not the intent confuse people upon her responsibility to her kids. I ask that you, if you are her friend, encourage her to take care of all her kids, not just mine, and be a woman we know she's capable of. So we clear, she's my baby mama, Shameeka, Trice, Chelsea, all mothers of my kids. Love y'all. Let's be mothers to all ours, no matter who I am. Hashtag mothers matter. Hashtag be honest. Hashtag don't lie. Hashtag be 100. Hashtag so we clear. That is complicated. That's a complicated issue that we have here. I don't know what to make of this. Also, we had a tweet storm from Antonio Brown. Here are our four tweets in a row. Just four tweets in a row. Nobody got respect these days. Everyone finding angles to take advantage of situations. pee on me, tell me it's raining. So hard I go, I keep pushing.
What on him?
Pee on me, tell me it's raining. And then a little rain cloud emoji. C.D. Carter quote tweeted that with, "We have a full-blown cryptic wide receiver tweet, 5-alarm emergency on Antonio Brown's Twitter. We've never seen anything quite like this." There's nothing left to say but this. Adjust all fantasy rankings accordingly. I guess it's good that he's worried about the baby mama's other kids, that she should be taking care of them also. That's, I guess, good of him. That doesn't sound like a great situation. Seems not terribly ideal. Did you still have the names up of Antonio Brown's children, Beards? This has been, I'll let you look it up. This has been a...
No, I can pull it up real quick.
Yeah, pull it up again. This has been a recurring thread on this show. We are strongly against, as almost entirely sports, as a show, something that we can unequivocally say, official stance. At this point, I think we can say this for ESPN Kansas City. ESPN Kansas City is officially against naming all of your kids' names with the same first letter. That we've been here. We have been on this issue. What are Antonio Brown's kids' names?
Antonio Brown Jr.
Yeah.
Autonomy Brown.
Okay.
Which is my favorite.
It's kind of a cool name.
Ali Brown.
Uh-huh.
Apollo Brown.
Uh-huh.
Antonia Brown.
All of those are kind of cool names, honestly.
Yeah.
I could, like, there's if he just had one of those kids named that, I'd be like, oh. Yeah, sure, that's... Apollo Brown is dope. You can't name all your kids' names with the same first letter. Well, then our friend George called in and made us aware of something that I was previously unaware of.
I think I remembered this, but I forgot.
George Foreman, according to Google, has 12 children. A pretty even guy-girl split, looks like. Boy-girl split here.
7 to 12. Or 7 to 6. No, 5 to 7. There we go. 5 boys, 7 girls.
There are at least 6 boys. Nope, never mind. One of them is him. I take that back. Yeah, it's easy to tell if there are 5 boys because they all... They'll have numbers after their names that indicate that. There's George Foreman, George Foreman Jr., George Foreman III, George Foreman IV, George Foreman V, George Foreman VI.
And then...
Hold on. Don't you jump the gun.
The nicknames?
The nicknames?
Yeah.
We'll get to those.
Okay.
Please hold. There are 6 George Foreman the whatevers now. Senior, junior, and then all through. I thought junior had to have a kid to name him the third, and then the third had to have a kid to name him the fourth, etc., like kings.
When you're George Foreman, it doesn't matter.
I didn't know this was a thing, though, that you could have 5 boys and name them all George Foreman 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I mean, it's not...
Or I guess 2, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's not
conventional.
No. It's not also a good idea. You can do it, but it's like, really? Are you sure you want to do that?
I didn't know you could do it. Never crossed my mind. I was with a bunch of daughters, most of them with various reasonable names. Except for poor Georgetta. Really got the short end of the stick on that one.
A little bit.
Sisters have, you know, all reasonable names. Georgetta, not great. Also, so the nicknames I actually am super interested about.
Okay.
Because I was going to ask, what do they call each other when they're all together? Whatever all the George
hey,
Foremans
three,
are
how
together,
you doing? Right. Oh, I'm doing okay, five.
Are you doing a thing one and thing two?
So there's
Whoville bleep?
So George Jr. is just George Jr. This is from Wikipedia. George 3 is Monk. George 4 is Big Wheel. George 5 is Red. And 6 is Little Joey. Yeah.
One more time.
George Jr., Monk, Big Wheel, Red, and Little Joey.
Do they? Do they have middle names?
The only one that has their own Wikipedia page is Monk, George Edward Monk Foreman III, and that's the only one that I see.
All right, now the question is, bleep it. Ask me what George Foreman's middle name is.
What's George?
Edward. Yeah. Edward. It's Edward.
Of course.
I found an audio clip. This is not a joke. I found an audio clip of George Foreman talking to a guy, Mickey Burns, apparently, about why he named all of his kids George. Here's the audio.
Speaking of family, you've got five sons, five daughters. I know you're very proud of all of them. However, all of your sons are famously named George, and all our viewers definitely want to know why.
Well, I got hit by Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Ken Norton, Evander Holyfield. You let them hit you and see how many names you can remember.
Not many.
So that's... I even tried to petition my wife to change her name to George. Years go by, you're like, You got to make preparation for memory loss in boxing.
Ho ho! That's both funny and too real. That's both super funny and also super not.
I have contradicting information.
Oh?
From Wikipedia. Quote, on his website, Foreman explains,
I have that audio. Go ahead. I have that.
I named all my sons George Edward Foreman so they could always have something in common. I said to them, if one of us goes up, then we all go up together, and if one of us goes down, we all go down together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, I was going to read that also, but it's not as funny.
No.
There's a comment here that says his daughter George is stunning, and I don't think that person realized that he does have a daughter named Georgette. So, like, it's not that far off.
We're the Georges. Can they just change their last name to George? George, George, George.
That's what I assume caller George's name is. I assume that his name is George, George, George.
He's the fabled seventh.
Yes. He's the seventh George Foreman. George Edward Foreman, excuse me. So there you go. There are the... there are all the important stories of the day. You got some Sammy Watkins. You got the Chiefs cornerback position possibly being addressed two different ways. You got a conversation about Antonio Brown wanting his three baby mamas to come together as a big three of baby mama ing. And then also George Foreman, George Foreman, George Foreman, George Foreman, George Foreman, George Foreman, and George Foreman.
And Georgina.
Georgette.
Georgette. I'm sorry.
Georgina hasn't been born yet. This concludes our MLB draft coverage.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
If people only heard the liners to this show, they would think we're doing such a good show.
With Joshua Briscoe.
They'd be stupidly wrong.
On ESPN Kansas City.
There are more tweets about that Sammy Watkins story that I am super here for. Mark Harmon.
He's the
Harmon Quest.
NCIS guy, isn't he?
Oh, God. Hold on. Really bleep this one up.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, because he's also in a Western that I've seen that was good.
What?
Yeah.
It's just that weird 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon that I have.
Matt, so wait, what's the Harmon that I just said?
Mark Harmon.
Mark Harmon's NCIS.
Yep.
Dan Harmon is Harmon Quest and all in Harmon, Dan Harmon, everything, all of that. Matt Harmon is a writer and analyst for NFL Network, who I'm logically quoting here. So it sounds like the Chiefs will be using Watkins in the slot with DeMarcus Robinson, or will line up in multiple spots, not just isolated as X receiver like LA last year. Brandon Kiley quote tweet with Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce in the slot with DeMarcus Robinson and Tyreek Hill split wide would be an interesting look. And yeah, it would. Also, I would be an interesting look at that time because of all of the drool on my face. Like, yeah, that feels like the way to go about this. Your slot receivers are Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins. Or, like, any number of those guys. That's the reason I'm so excited about this offense, man. Any four of those receivers, pass catchers, I guess, you know, and Kelce's guys. Any four of those guys on the field at the same time is unstoppable. Let's say that Watkins is lined up as the X, and you've got Tyreek Hill out on the other side. You'll say your outside receivers are Hill and Watkins, the most basic thing. Kelce in a slot, DeMarcus Robinson in a slot. That's your base four receiver offense, and you are just... You're just a smoke show. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. All right, the urchin's been very patient today. Let's go ahead and throw him a block of cheese and do the headlines.
Headlines! I've got headlines over here! Do you want a headline? I've got plenty of them! Got breaking news here! Hey, you! You! You want some breaking news? What about you, old lady?
Sources, Iguodala, knee, eyes, finals, return.
Yes, but eh.
Beards is mainlining it. I want to be honest and say, would I click that headline? I'm clicking the headline because I want to know if it says that he's returning for game 3. Still unknown according to sources if he's returning for the game. All right, get out of here.
Hey, you, mister, you need some news. I've got news here. Just ask me, please. I need to give out news.
I'm looking ahead, Beard. I gotta be honest. There's a couple winners here. Adams blames fat fingers for like of mellow jab.
Oh, yeah. I saw this one. This is good.
Steven Adams blames fat fingers for like of mellow barb on Instagram. A like by Oklahoma City Thunder center Steven Adams on a comment on an Instagram post critical of Carmelo Anthony is said to have been an accident, the team spokesman told ESPN. On a post featuring four Thunder players, Adams, Anthony, Russell Westbrook, and Paul George, with the caption, "Who's more valuable to OKC?" Adams liked a comment that said all of them except Melo. Adams contacted Thunder PR early Monday morning from New Zealand to make them aware of the situation, saying it was an accident made while scrolling through his feed, blaming his fat fingers.
I've seen him in person. He's a massive dude.
I believe
it.
I believe that he has fat fingers. What I don't believe is, Beards, do you have an Instagram?
No.
I'm opening Instagram right now.
Well,
just
I do, but I've done zero with it.
That's fine. You can't accidentally like a comment from your feed. I've got pictures right now. I just opened my feed, and Renee's got a picture. Pablo Torre have a picture. My two great loves. And there are a bunch of comments on this picture of after the show from after High Noon today, Pablo and Bomani's show. If I want to like the one comment that I can see, which just says woohoo, I have to click it. And then I have to go in. And now you can pick a comment and you could theoretically accidentally like it. You could also unlike it. It might pop up. Someone might catch it by then, or someone might catch a screenshot. But if you're scrolling through Instagram, you can accidentally like a picture, or you can click it and accidentally like a comment. But you can't accidentally like a comment from your home feed. I think Steven Adams doesn't like Carmelo Anthony.
Here's another headline.
Saban. I'm telling you, we're getting back-to-back ones here, I think. And usually starting with Saban isn't going to...
No.
Saban, fuel pump to blame for lake mishap.
Okay, I got to know.
I want to know. Nick Saban, fuel pump at fault in boat breakdown. Even Nick Saban, one of the most successful and most prepared college football coaches of all time, and a veteran boater to boot, could occasionally run into trouble on the water. But for the record, Saban said he didn't run out of gas while spending an afternoon on the lake with some of his Alabama players last week, as was the rage on social media, even though he has gotten a big laugh out of some of the responses. Timeout. Nick Saban's never had a big laugh.
No.
Saban told ESPN that what actually happened was the fuel pump was defective, and get this, the boat was new. Brand spanking new, and it's the first time I've been out on it, Saban told ESPN. So when it stalled, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I bought a new boat and they didn't put gas in it. I didn't even think about it. You just assume that it's got gas in it when you get a new car or a new boat. My heart sunk for a minute because I had all these kids out there. I had two of them on tubes when it happened. We had fun, but I sure heard about it. Saban said one of the funniest responses he received came from a student at the Naval Academy. He sent me a picture of a big-ass warship and said, "Hey, coach, we got you, man. We'll always come pick you up," Saban said, laughing. "We didn't run out of gas, but when the fuel pump runs out, that's exactly what it feels like," said Saban, who was on the boat with members of the Alabama football team's leadership group. "I got all these kids on the boat, and I said, we must have run out of gas. And then I look at the gas gauge, and it's full. So I call for a mechanic who brings another boat. He resets the thing or whatever. I told him, you drive that boat, I'm driving your boat."
Who's tired of the news? Do you want a headline instead?
Carter, Duke players will show more in NBA.
Nah.
Really, two up, one down there.
Hey, you look like you haven't been paying attention to the news lately. Do you need a newspaper? I bet you do. Here's one. Take it. No, why are you giving it back?
The phrasing on this one's very good. Warriors up in arms over Perkins's immobile legs.
I did see this.
It's a very good headline, and also the story is kind of funny. Steph Curry hit a three, or at least took a three. Probably hit it because he's Steph Curry.
No, I think it was like a late shot clock when it didn't go in.
Whatever.
It was kind of more like a one-armed heave than it was an actual shot.
But he's over in the corner, and then he stumbled over Kendrick Perkins's suited legs, and like, Kendrick Perkins is 6'10". I don't know if he really could have had his feet. He didn't move his legs. His feet never moved in the whole clip. So, it's kind of funny.
He was just crowding the sideline.
What?
He was just crowding the sideline.
Sitting there.
He was standing.
Mm-mm. I'm opening the video right now. Perkins was sitting in the chair.
Okay.
That's why he had the whole 90-degree angle of his knees sticking out and everything.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm replaying the video now. But he was sitting there, and like, he wasn't trying to hold his feet back, but he wasn't in any way on the field of play. I'm seeing if the replay shows here. I want to make sure they can confirm this to be true. But just showing the ruckus afterwards. Just sitting there.
Hey, you need some news. Come get the news from me.
Toure, I think is how you pronounce this. Quote, cruel Guardia has issue with Africans.
Excuse me.
Yaya Toure accuses Pep Guardia of having, quote, problems with Africans. That's the Manchester City coach.
Oh.
And the player who says that is apparently African. Says he accused the Manchester City coach of being, quote, cruel to him, according to an interview with France Football. This one doesn't seem like much fun.
News!
Keith Law's 2018 Mock Draft 4.1!
News!
We've got two more. I'm trying to decide which order to take them in. Yeah, let's do this one first. Benedict Cumberbatch saves cyclists from muggers, report says.
Do what now?
Benedict Cumberbatch saves cyclist from muggers, report says. I'll read that. It was a case of life imitating art as British actor Benedict Cumberbatch, known for playing superhero Doctor Strange in the Marvel movies, is credited with fighting off a group of assailants attempting to mug a delivery cyclist. Cumberbatch, 41, reportedly jumped out of his Uber cab to help a cyclist from the food delivery company Deliveroo, who was being attacked by a group of would-be muggers in central London.
Huh.
That's pretty good, right?
Pretty cool. Also, he's 41.
Yeah, that's older than you'd think, right?
Yeah.
By a few years. He's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that's more of a Sherlock move than a Doctor Strange. Like, Doctor Strange would have, you know, sent them into a different, like, time plane or something. Sherlock goes over and just hits you with, like, a can in the knee.
Yeah.
I missed that show. But I also don't necessarily need more of it. I'm going to go back and rewatch it sometime.
No, I'd like more.
And then the last season ended pretty well. It ended pretty well, though, I feel like. It put a nice bow on it.
Sure, you can see that.
News! From the Atlantic. Artificially inseminating a rhino is a complicated process. For one thing, their cervix is zigzag. For another, the ultrasound has to go through the rectum.
Oh, boy.
You want the story?
I don't know. Do I?
Science. How to impregnate a rhino, besides the usual way. When Parker Pennington first saw the embryo, she gasped, but very quietly.
What?
Shut up. Let me read. I just read ahead. Just shut up. Shut up. I'm starting from the beginning. Don't talk. When Parker Pennington first saw the embryo, she gasped, but very quietly. At the time, as is often the case for her these days, she had her arm fully inside the rectum of a white rhino, and she didn't want to alarm the animal by yelping excitedly.
I feel like that would be a bad thing to do.
If I'm ever at a point in my life where you can say, at the time, as often is the case for Josh these days, he had his arm fully inside the rectum of a white rhino, I need an intervention.
When I went to the zoo, I did see the rhino there. They're big.
Your arm in its butt?
Nope.
You think about it?
No.
Didn't even consider it?
Nope.
Didn't even think about putting your arms out of rhino's butt?
They kicked me out last time I tried that.
There it is.
I would have liked to have stayed. I wanted to stay this time.
That's fair. That whole time I was saying, I will be damned if we don't get a liner out of this. In her immersed hand, she held an ultrasound probe, which revealed that the rhino, who goes by Victoria, had a tiny marble in her uterus. Not literally, I don't think. She was pregnant. If everything goes well, the marble will grow into a baby who will greet the world in the summer of 2019 and eventually become a two-ton, two-horned behemoth.
Oh, boy.
But even as a small grainy orb on a black and white screen, its very existence felt miraculous. It meant that Pennington's very first attempt to artificially inseminate Victoria just 18 days earlier had worked. All rhinos are endangered to various degrees. The northern white rhino, one of two white rhino subspecies, is in especially dire straits after Sudan, the last surviving male, died in March at the conservancy in Kenya where he lived. Only two females remain, and they are both so inbred that neither of them can reproduce naturally. That's kind of interesting.
Huh.
The only way to save the northern white is through artificial means. Eggs from the last two females could be fertilized in a test tube with Sudan's frozen sperm, and then implanted into females of the southern white subspecies. Huh.
Huh.
That's never been done before. If that works, they'll eventually try implanting them with artificially fertilized northern white rhino eggs. I glanced a paragraph ahead and saw the phrase PVC pipe.
Oh. Woo.
I don't know what the context is yet, but I saw a PVC pipe. Who's at the door? You can say, I asked on the radio, so I need an answer on the radio also. I just thought maybe they'd want to know where we were at in this article or something.
Slebo, he wants to know about hockey tonight.
Ah.
Way less fun.
He didn't want to hear about...
I didn't ask.
I was hoping he might just stick his head in for this paragraph. To artificially impregnate a white rhino, you must first work out when she's fertile. You can do this by scanning her ovaries with an ultrasound machine to see if any of the egg-producing follicles within them have grown. Pennington takes turns with Barbara Durant, who directs the San Diego Zoo's reproductive sciences team to scan each of the six females twice a week. First, they lead each rhino into a specially designed chute with an open panel at the rear. Since rhinos are so large, ultrasounds won't work through their bellies or flanks. You have to go through the rectum, which means there is quite literally a lot of bleep in the way.
Oh boy. I mean, they're not wrong.
I haven't read, for the record, I don't read these stories before the segment. This is genuine.
Oh boy.
The rhino's trainers have conditioned each animal to defecate in the yard before the procedure, but Pennington and Durant still have to spend a fair amount of time scooping poop out. Once they're done, they insert a rounded probe that's the size of two fingers and is taped to a foot-long PVC pipe. The pipe, I suggested Pennington, surely means that your arm's not going in there, quote, oh, it is, she tells me.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
A rhino's ovaries lie deeper than its body, and the left one, for some reason, lies deeper than the right. But for the left ovary, Pennington typically ends up shoulder deep in rhino.
Oh boy.
The animals aren't sedated during any of this, but they seem unperturbed. I'm sure the sensation is very odd at first, says Pennington. Quote, but the size of their fecal boluses are definitely larger than the diameter of our arms. Oh, it helps that the white rhinos are docile and sociable by nature. They're like big puppy dogs who just want to be petted, says Pennington. They'll kick a leg out when you're scratching their belly, and if you're afraid, you're afraid they'll fall over because they really get into it.
That's also bad.
They're like big dogs.
That will squish you. Because they're bigger than dogs.
I'm just kind of now scrolling through the cervix zigs and zags like a steep mountain road. Hey, just goes on. You can read more of this at theatlantic.com if you're interested. There's a whole lot of information here. We barely scratched the surface. Unlike that vet.
Oh boy.
I feel like we learned a lot today.
Did I need to know any of it? Not really.
Are you glad you did?
That's not debatable.
Really. Not really. No, not really. Shoulder deep in rhino. It's a pretty good, like, garage band's name. Not a great sentence otherwise. Hey, what's up, everybody? We're Shoulder Deep in Rhino. Thanks for coming out tonight. This is our last song. You guys have been awesome. The song's called Zigzag Cervix.
We love you, Cincinnati! Oh, man.
I mean, do we just sit in silence for the rest of time now?
No, we have to play ads.
We could come back with very serious Chiefs talk about how Patrick Mahomes didn't take some money last year. Woohoo. Well, we'll probably do that, honestly. That's the next thing up.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
All right, if you come back tomorrow, the show will be better, I promise.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
I mean, listen, the first hour wasn't good. Second hour's been okay. We did spend a lot of time reading about artificially inseminating a rhino.
And George Foreman's, all of them.
And Antonio Brown's non-issue with natural reproduction.
The big three of baby mamas. They're going to win at least one championship.
I kind of like the spirit animal discussion, but I think the better conversation is what's definitely not your spirit animal Antonio Brown, not a white rhino.
Nope.
No problem. Three production. What's not your spirit animal appearance? It's a difficult question.
It is.
I'm trying to think of the answer for myself, and I'm having some trouble.
I don't know.
Me neither.
It's difficult.
I'm trying to think of like some like identifying factors even, you know, like anything. Patrick Mahomes made himself a story. No, I mean, we made Patrick Mahomes. This story's mostly stupid. It's at least not a big deal. But we'll get the... Come on, Twitter. Just be not a bleep hole. Thank you. Let's go. Twitter, open. Twitter, internet. Here's a summary on Pro Football Focus. Patrick Mahomes was the Chiefs' first-round draft pick last year, and like most first-round draft picks, he had local businesses offering him endorsement deals, but he didn't want to be a star in commercials before he's a star on the field. Also, Beards has informed me that Dwight Clark died, which I did see, and just didn't really feel like I had anything to add to the conversation, but that's a thing that happened and is sad. So thank you, Beards, for bringing that up. Bookended between artificially inseminating rhinos and talking about Patrick Mahomes' death. Big Dwight Clark fan, Beards?
Just popped up.
Anything to say about it? You wanted to add something? You want to pay your respects?
It just popped up on my feed.
No, go ahead. No, I'll get out of the way. You pay your respects.
Your turn.
Thank you, Beards. Mahomes' agent
stomp, stomp. Okay, there you go. Have your show back.
Mahomes' agent Lee Steinberg told ESPN that the goal for Mahomes' first year in Kansas City was to establish himself as a part of the team, not to get every endorsement dollar. As a result, Mahomes turned down offers that would have given him a higher profile, not wanting to create a perception that he saw himself as a star before he had proven himself. Here's the thing. They said we didn't want him to be on billboards and everything when he wasn't even playing. I think the thing that is cool here is that, hey, you know, he didn't want to, you know, step on Alex Smith's neck while Alex Smith was helping him. Like, that would have been awkward, and it may have made Alex Smith a little bit bristly in response to Mahomes, which I totally get. That's totally fair and reasonable. You don't want to get your quarterback ahead of you, who is mentoring you in a pretty selfless way, mad at you. It's reasonable. Also, like, I don't. That's cool. Thumbs up. I also don't think that Mahomes deserves all of the praise in the world for you know, keeping his own best interests in mind there. It's cool. It's fine. It's a good story. He'll make plenty of money with endorsements before he sees a snap. But in the post-talks are there. It's being careful about the guy mentoring him and not wanting to seem like you're trying to roll the corpse of Alex Smith out the door before you end up actually taking over yet. So it's cool. I don't think it's a big story. I just didn't feel like milking that story for an hour. But now we've talked about it. Was I a little bit annoyed that, you know, like, he's, you know, a star who's turning away money? Yeah, I mean, because I would literally endorse. I would endorse a white rhino artificial insemination service. No question. In a heartbeat. Yeah, we would corner that market. So if you know anybody, I mean, they could tweet me at JB Briscoe, I guess. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.